guys can be seated. You can be seated. You can be seated. You can be seated. You can be seated. This is I've never been to a Spirit Week, and I thought that last time we came that you guys were excited, but Lord have mercy. It's a little difficult for me to choose sides. You know, I've had several people. On the freshman team, I have my brother, Brother Aaron Eggers, who is leading it up over here. So, you know. And then I have a brother from another mother, and Brother Preston Wilkerson back there. That's my boy. And your team mascot for the seniors is absolutely the bomb. Lord have mercy. He wanted to make sure I gave a shout out, so he hit me up earlier this week. And but I did come. I came a little bit on the bias side because I brought my big red Bible. Either way, I'm excited to be in the house of the Lord with the people of God, no matter what team you're on. We're praising the Lord for everybody that's here. Hey, let me help the red team out. You guys missed the opportunity for you to just get wild. The seniors took the opportunity and they sang a song about the blood. Nothing trumps the blood of Jesus. So the seniors should have been, I mean, through the roof when they sing that. You got the seniors singing about red. Come on now. Use a little bit more sense. And next time they come up and sing about red, you just get overly excited. They don't look like, hey, why are they getting so excited? This is our song. Well, we're the red team, okay? I found a verse in the Bible here. I'm trying to hook the red team up. I really want to help them. They begged me to. They asked me. I found a verse in the Bible for the red team. I got you here. I got you. Genesis chapter 25 and verse number 25. Let me read it to you. It says, and the first came out red. Let me help you again. The Bible says, look, let me help the red team again. The Bible says that the last shall be first, okay? So they took a seat in the back so they could be last, and ultimately they're going to be the first at the end of the tournament. Yeah. They paid me well enough to... They paid me well enough to give them that shout out. I'm sorry, everybody else. I love every other team, but praise the Lord. They paid me real good. They gave me about 2 peppermints. There you go. Come on. Here we go. There is a word from the Lord, though. With all the shenanigans, we're going to put it to the side. 1 Samuel chapter number 16. There is a word from the Lord that we'll look at here in a couple of verses from 1 Samuel chapter number 16. Then we'll also look at Psalm chapter number 78. Psalm 78. First Samuel 16, verse number 17. And the Bible says, and Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well and bring him to me. Verse 18, then he answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite that is cunning in playing and a mighty valiant man, a man of war and prudent in matters, and a comely person, the Lord is with him. Go ahead, journey over with me to Psalm chapter number 78. Psalm chapter number 78. In verse 70 and down to verse number 72. Bible says here, he chose David also his servant and took him from the sheepfolds. From following the ewes great with young, he brought him to feed Jacob his people and Israel his inheritance. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hand. For a few moments this evening, this morning, I preached last night, I'm still in last night's sermon, I think. For a few moments this morning, afternoon, I want to preach from this subject, God, please choose me. Lord, please choose me. Let us pray. Lord, we sure do thank you for today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the spirit of this place. I pray, God, that you'd help us to be cheerful and joyful Christians all the days of our lives. Lord, I do pray now that you would anoint me afresh and use me. I pray, God, that you'd give me clarity of mind and concision of speech and, of course, conviction of heart. Help us as we read and examine the word of God. I pray, God, that something that will be said today would strike us so that we would want to be chosen by you. Thank you again for every opportunity you've given us to serve you and to follow you. Please bless this message now. I ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. I just read in your hearing 1 Samuel chapter number 16, and I read just two verses from there. And there's a mention of a young man, and his name is David. There is no man in the Old Testament that is so forcefully pushed across the landscape of the Old Testament as is David. This man's life is so impactful that we're reading passages about him today and passages from him today that is causing our lives to be changed. This man had a powerful impact with the Lord. The Lord used him mightily. And when you look at his life, you begin to take and you can glean from some of the things and apply them to your life and allow God to use you in the same sense that God used David. There was nothing particularly special about David except for a few things I'll begin to extract from the text today. And if you would just take these simple principles and apply them to your life, I believe that God can use you impactfully no matter where you go on the planet Earth. Last night I preached a sermon at the Bible Institute, and I entitled the sermon, "I Don't Have to Be Popular to Be Powerful." You don't have to be well known to be impactful for the Lord. You don't have to be somebody who has a lot of fame or notoriety or is somebody that everybody is looking up to have an impact for the Lord. But we look at David's life and God gives us some simple truths that if we just simply just apply them, then we could be used just like everybody else in the scripture. Last night I preached about a man named Shamgar. Only one verse in the Bible gives us his biography. And he was kind of slighted with his biography because it just says, "And Shamgar killed 600 Philistines with an ox goad, and he delivered Israel also." That's all it said about him, is that he just delivered Israel also. It doesn't say that he gave any special quotes, any special sermons. It doesn't say that he did anything special except for delivering Israel like Ehud, the man before him, like Othniel, like Joshua, like Moses. He did the same thing they did, but he didn't get much pen and paper. He delivered Israel just like those famed people that we know that delivered Israel. Tonight, I'm speaking to a Shamgar, perhaps, and I'm trying to take a Shamgar and give him some David-like tendencies so that he can be mightily used of God. If you look over the landscape of David's life, you'll notice I have divided out into six separate sections, And his sections of his life, if you just take and watch and go and read these passages of scripture, I think that you can learn a lot from them. Watch what happens in David's life. David goes from this place of a pasture, a place of preparation in Bethlehem in 1 Samuel chapter number 16, to a place of promotion in Gibeah in 1 Samuel 16 and verse 21, where he is promoted to be the king's armor bearer. Then he goes from preparation and the pasture to promotion to persecution in the Valley of Elah, where he had to stand up in 1 Samuel 17 and fight against Goliath. He goes from the Valley of Elah to the cave of Adullam. And he goes there in the same chapter there. And this is where God is really training him up on how to lead people, how to lead the ruffians, how to lead people who are not quite like he is. God trains him there. And then he goes from there to a place of perseverance in 1 Samuel chapter number 30. He goes to Ziklag. This is where the enemies of God came and burned down the city and left David high and dry, and he was in trouble. And he had a choice. He could either quit on God or he can keep going for God. And God teaches us through his life in Ziklag that we can persevere for God. And then he goes from a place of perseverance to 2 Samuel chapter number 5. Now, that's a lot of chapters. You got chapter 31. Where he's in Ziklag, 30, where he's in Ziklag, chapter 31, 1 Samuel chapter 1, 2 Samuel chapter 1, 2 Samuel chapter 2, 2 Samuel chapter 3, 2 Samuel chapter 4, 2 Samuel chapter 5, he gets to this place called Hebron. This is where he's anointed king over Israel. You say, Brother James, I thought you told us that God sent Samuel, the judge of Israel, to appoint David, the king over Israel, in 1 Samuel chapter number 16. Yes, I told you that. But didn't you just tell us that he was anointed to be the king in 1 Samuel 16? But then you just told us that he became king in 2 Samuel chapter number 5. Now, if you got any type of common sense, and God says, hey, bro, what's your name? You're a senior. What's your name?
Hunter.
Hunter, my nephew's name is Hunter. His birthday was 2 days ago. If God comes to you and say, hey, I'm going to make you whatever God wants to make you, what do you like to do? Sing, what do you like to do?
Preach.
Okay, God says, I'm going to make you a preacher. It would seem like a sleight of hand if God didn't make you a preacher, I guess, in your timing. If God said, well, if he just told you, don't go to Howells Anderson yet. Wait 5 years and go to Howells Anderson. Wait 20 years and go to Howells Anderson. Wouldn't it feel unfair if God said, you told me I was supposed to be a preacher, but now, God, you're playing the waiting game. You're going to make me wait to become what you told me I'm going to become. Well, such is the discipline in David's life. God tells him, you're going to be the king. He sends out Samuel to find a king. God has got a plan. It's a strenuous plan. It is a hardcore plan. God says, Samuel, I need you to go to the house of Jesse, and I want you to select a son from one of his eight sons. I want to select a king from one of his eight sons. And so he goes to the house, and he gets there, and I mean, these guys were suited and booted. Jesse calls his first son out, and he comes forward. And Samuel is excited. Yes, the new king of Israel. I found him. And God says, hold up, bro. Nope. Then he sends his second son, Abinadab, out. Yes, the king of Israel. No, Samuel, no. Sends out the third son, and the fourth, and the fifth, and keep and going forward. And every time God tells him, no. He tells him, Samuel, what you're looking for is on the outside, but what I'm looking for is on the inside. You're looking at the outward appearance, and these guys look really good, and they know how to clean themselves up, and they know what to say, and they know what to do. They know how to act, but that's not what I'm looking for. God says, I'm looking for particular characteristics for those who I can use greatly. So He says to Jesse, hey, do you have another son? It's got to be another son. And Jesse, I can see that Jesse, I can imagine being in the room with Jesse, because Jesse is kind of like, he's excited when his first son comes out, second, third. He's excited because he's thinking, yeah, man, I know this son is, it's impossible for this son not to be chosen by God to be used. I can imagine by the time Samuel asks him for his last son, David, he's kind of let down, like, no, not this son. He's out in the sheep field. He's taking care of sheep. Not this cat. This can't be the son you're talking about. Then David approaches the room. He walks in. He's probably got dirt and mud and probably got some sheep dung on his feet or on his sandals and dirt in between his toes, and we like to imagine the Bible. We like to breathe it, smell it. You know, you can smell it when he walked in the room. It probably smelled really putrefying, you know, a little, you know, like a farm type of situation. It smelled, some of you guys, it smells great. They would love to be on the farm right now, praise the Lord. But I'm a city slicker. I can't do that stuff. But I went to the Fair Oaks farm recently, and I watched a cow give birth, and that was not fun at all. Lord have mercy. I wouldn't trade that for anything. I watched a guy come and pull the cow out and then pick it up and just lay it on the side. I'm like, what is happening right now? what's going on? And I can imagine that David smelled like that room that I'm thinking about. Wasn't good. But when he walks in, I can feel the relief that comes over Samuel. A great amount of peace comes over him, and so much so that he said, this is he. I don't have to do any interview. I don't have to do anything else. This is who God has chosen. Well, let's look in our text in 1 Samuel chapter 16, and we'll see why God perhaps chose him to be used. First of all, God takes and God chooses who he pleases. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse number 6, the Bible says, and it came to pass when they were come and looked at Eliab, I just went through all of that he surely the Lord's anointed is before him. Lord, he was really excited about this, but this is not who God has chosen. God specifically chooses David, and he wants to use him for a reason. Let me tell you why God chose him. First of all, the Bible teaches us that God chose him because he communed with the Creator. Do anybody in this room, I'm sure you guys do it, I should have an overwhelming response with this question. Does anybody in this room know who wrote Psalm chapter 23? David. Okay, let's say it a little bit louder. We're at a Bible college. Who wrote Psalm chapter 23. Yeah. There you go. That sounds confident. Does anybody know what the first words of Psalm 23 says? Y'all said it so fast that you just missed the whole theme of why God chose him. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. Okay. How in the world would he make that connection if he didn't know the Lord? David was a shepherd boy. He dealt with sheep. This was his life. He understood what it meant to be a shepherd. So for him to say that the Lord is his shepherd, he says, I know and I recognize that the Lord takes care of me like I take care of these sheep. David was a shepherd. And he's like some of us. If you have a pet, normally, a normal person, if they have a pet, they treat them like a child. They talk to their pet. They rub their pet. Oh, good boy, your dog, cat, whatever you have, I don't know, gerbil, whatever. Some of y'all got the little chia pet, the little... The Lord is my shepherd. He learned this, and God knew that David thought of him in such a high regard that God said, I think I'll choose him because he communes with me. Young people, if you're going to be used of God, you must learn how to have a personal walk with the Lord. Okay, listen. If your walk with God is limited to this building or this campus, you're really not walking with God. If the only time you get excited about the Word of God is when they get excited in chapel, you're playing games. Listen, you must learn to walk with God when everybody else is not walking with God. It doesn't make a difference if your friends are walking with God or if they're not walking with God. Why? Because you're supposed to be walking with God. And David got chosen based off of his communion with God, not with Eliab's or Abinadab's or Jesse's or Samuel's. He got chosen because of his walk with the Lord. You want to be used of God just like I want to be used of God, but I learned a long time ago that Brother Snipes, Brother Mitchell, Brother Aaron, they can't walk with God for me. Brother Dominguez, Brother Wilkerson over there, they can't. Brother Aaron, they cannot walk with God for you. They can lead you to be spirited, but listen, a true person that is spirit-filled and walking with the Lord, you don't have to rile them up to get excited about the Lord. It's a part of your nature. Once the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you and somebody's coming and talking to you about the Lord, listen, you don't have to excite me about the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is living on the inside of me. And as soon as somebody says something about the Lord, guess what happens? The Holy Spirit said, yes, that's right. Yes, 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 yes. Now, I have to tame myself. I have to tell the Spirit, all right, calm down, Holy Spirit. I know they're singing about the blood of Jesus, but I don't want to get too wild. I don't want to take a lap. Somebody give me a red flag. I don't want to take a lap. I mean, I'm the one that does that. Nobody can get more excited about the Lord than you can for you. God chose David because David had a personal commune with the Creator. Really simple. You want to be chosen to be used greatly by God? Look at the Bible says right here. I read to you in Psalm chapter 78, verse number 70 through 72. You want to be chosen by God to be used greatly? Let me help you. You better have character and competency. Psalm 78, verse 70 says, he chose David, his servant, and took him in the sheepfolds from following after the ewe great with young, and brought him to feed Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart, and he guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. My friends, there is no such thing as an ignorant child of God. There should not be a such thing as an ignorant child of God. Let me help you with something. Okay. We got the upper hand on everybody else. It's not prideful. I mean, we can be proud of our God. Praise God. You guys came to college, and so they teach you here that God is all-knowing, omniscient. Am I right about that? God is all-knowing. So he knew what to give us, what not to give us. He knew exactly how much to give us. He knew what to give us concerning all things. Everything that we need to know about contained right here in the book. So therefore, I should personally have the upper hand upon people who are not saved, people who are not walking with God, people who don't know the things of God. You and I should have the upper hand because we know we have access to an all-knowing God. Every day, at any moment, the Bible says that the Lord is as close as the mention of his name. I can just say, Lord, help me. And the Lord can guide me right to a spot in the scripture where he can talk to me as plain as day. Young people, you have the upper hand, but you have to take the time to be competent. You have to take the time. Listen, don't come to Bible college. Why pay all this money to go to Bible college and you're not trying to learn anything about God? Why even pay? Why waste your time? I mean, that's kind of just unnecessary. You're really not coming to learn about God. You're actually coming here. Let me help you. When you go to college, that's any college, whether it's Bible college, any college, normally you go to college not really to learn anything. You go to college to learn how to learn. Because once you walk out of these four doors, your teachers will not guide you in the study. You have to personally get in the study. You have to personally open the book. You have to personally read the words. You have to personally get out a dictionary, a thesaurus. You have to personally get out a pen and paper, a computer, and study it for yourself. Amen. You want to be used mightily of God? You can be if you choose to be. You can be if you choose to be competent and have character. Bible says he was out taking care of sheep. And God says, okay, I see how well and how much integrity you have in taking care of sheep. So now I'm going to pick you up and I'm going to put you over here with the people of Israel. Here, let me get my integrity right here. Sit up, buddy. See? There we go. He's doing good. Don't fall. Okay. God says, I saw your character, how that when a sheep fell over, David, you picked the sheep up. I saw that. And I have people in my sheepfold who are going to fall by the wayside, who are going to be hurt, who will be damaged, who will be misused, and I'm choosing you to pick them up. But I can't choose you if you don't have character. I won't use you if you don't have the character to do it. God then says, not only did I choose him because he was communing with me, the Creator, but he had character and competency. Let me help you guys with something too. I don't want to miss this point here. I know a lot of us, we come to Bible college and we think that's going to be the end all for us to get into ministry. I know a lot of our hearts are pure when we want to get in ministry. But let me help you with this really quickly. Let me help you. Don't ask God for something that you know that your character will not keep up with. Some of the guys in the room, you're asking God for a wife, but you cannot keep a job. You're just asking God to fulfill your lust. I'm going to be real with you. That's all I know how to do. I preach to men who want me to be real with them, so I got to be real with you. Stop asking God for things that you know that your character will not sustain you in. God is not going to give you something so he can let you destroy yourself. Many men in here, they want to go out of here and pastor churches and be missionaries and preach. Listen, you got to be a good student first. If you can't do the basic things, if you can't run with the footmen, how in the world are you going to run with horsemen? If you can't run, if you're a senior and you can't run with the freshmen, how in the world are you going to survive out there in the Christian world? Freshman, if you're here and you are still acting like you go to City Baptist, Hammond Baptist, you go to a middle school, it's something off about you. It's time to grow up. Brother James, we thought you was nice. I am on Sundays. I'm just trying to help you guys. I'm just telling you what David did. I'm in the text. I'm not making this stuff up. Look what the Bible says. It says that in verse number, verse number 18, that then one of the servants answered, behold, I've seen a son of Jesse, but the Bethlehemite cunning, playing and mighty, a valiant man of war, prudent in all matters, a comely person, and the Lord is with him. If you're going to be used of the Lord mightily, and anybody can be, it's not for special persons. You need to tune your character. You need to make sure you're competent. You must commune with the Savior or the Creator. But you also must be courageous in conflict. Okay, guys, ladies, can I use a word here? The Christian ministry is not for wimps. It's not for the soft-hearted. It's actually easier, if you will, to live out in the world. It's the way of the transgressor of heart, of course, we know that, but it's easier to just say no to God, seemingly. It's difficult to tune your character. I mean, don't have somebody else tune your character. You tune it. I mean, mom and dad, don't wait for mom and dad to call you and wake you up in the morning. Or whoever it is that comes around and do wake-up calls, or whoever it is that come and do dress check, whatever. Hey, character is going to get you very far, and then learning how to deal with conflict will get you very far. I deal with conflict almost 7 days a week. I deal with some of the roughest individuals on the planet Earth. I'm not kidding you right now. Dave Talbot attested that back then. Some of the guys that come in, not all, some of them are ex-convicts, and some of them come in strung out on drugs and different situations, and we deal with some characters. We had a guy recently just do something out extremely wild. It's just like, what in the world just happened to you? And that should have been a time where myself, some of the other leadership, we should have said, you know what, I think we're getting ready to quit this thing. This is a little bit too insane for me. I'm getting ready to quit this. I'm done. I'm calling Pastor Wilkson, writing a letter of resignation. I'm out of here. Well, if you did that every time something came up in your Christian life, you're never going to accomplish anything for the Lord. You don't believe me? Call a missionary this week. Write a missionary and say, hey, tell me about some of the conflicts you've gone through in your life. I guarantee you they can send you back 10 pages of stuff they've been through. And they stayed in spite of the conflict. So God takes him and he begins to prepare him in this place called Bethlehem in the pasture. But after that, God then promotes him in 1 Kings chapter number 16. He promotes him and sends him to a place called Gibeah. The Bible says here in verse number 14, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and the evil spirit troubled him. This is the background of what's happening. God goes in and he anoints King David. And at the same time, simultaneously, the Bible says, the very next verse, while he is getting anointed, Saul, the king of Israel, the Spirit of the Lord leaves him and an evil spirit comes up on him. The man was literally a maniac. He was the king, but he was crazy. He was in leadership, but he didn't have it all. And God says, I'm taking my spirit away from you, brother. I can't leave it with you because I told you, I gave you a command in 1 Kings chapter, is that 1 Kings? Yeah, I preached about it last week. 1 Kings chapter 15, and you didn't listen. You didn't kill the king, the Amalekites. God says, because of that, I'm taking my spirit away from you. You disobeyed me. This is the setup of what happens when David is promoted. God then takes and he uses him for some very serious reasons. And here it is, I'm going to drop these in your spirit and then I got to go. Only got a few more minutes here. Watch this. If you have a pen, you better write this stuff down. I kid you not. You're going to look back at this and say, man, I wish I would have listened to what he said. I want to see how Brother David went from the pasture to the palace. I want to know how David came from working on a farm to now being in the kingdom. Not only being in the kingdom, he's the king of the kingdom. How in the world did this happen? Look with me really quickly, and I'll give you a few points here, and I got to go take my seat. First of all, David became the king of the palace. Watch this. verse number 15, we saw that Saul, 14, we saw that Saul had been left by evil spirit. And then verse 15 says, and Saul's servant said unto him, behold now, an evil spirit of God troubles you. Let our Lord command thy servants, which is before thee, seek out a man who is a cunning player of the harp. And it shall come to pass when the spirit of God is upon thee, he shall play with his hand, and it shall be well. Then Saul said unto the servants, provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, a mighty valiant man, a man of war, prudent in matters, a comely person, and the Lord is with him. God gave us everything we need to know in order to be promoted in the kingdom of God and to be used greatly, just in a few verses here. Let me tell you why he got promoted. The Bible says David was just minding his business, and the Spirit of the Lord left King Saul, and he was being tormented, Brother Aaron. And the Bible says that he was tormented so that he needed somebody who was filled with the Spirit to come and help him out. And so some random person, no name person, the Bible doesn't say who it was, it just said somebody said, it's a man that I know of. He's a Bethlehemite. He's the son of Jesse. His name is David. He can play a harp. He can answer. He can answer everything you have a need for. Well, David was promoted from the pasture to the palace, first of all, because he met a need. Listen, my brother, what's your name?
Nathaniel.
Nathaniel, what do you like to do?
Play games.
Play games. Okay. Well, we're going to move to... No, I'm just kidding. We're going to grow you out of that today, brother, prayerfully. Come on. I play games too. I need to relax sometimes. But Nathaniel, God says, if God says to you, hey, man, if God says a need comes up at House Anderson, I don't know what they do here, all type of stuff, cutting grass. What do you guys do? Cut grass. What do you guys mostly need help in? Somebody cleaning, mopping? What do you need help in? What do you need help for? Fixing stuff. You hear that? Brother Aaron said, the college mostly needs help with people that fix stuff. Do you know that whenever something comes up that needs to be fixed, somebody in this room name pops in their head? So I guess my question to you is, when God needs something done, does your name come up? The king had a need. He had an evil spirit, and the spirit was tormenting him. And the first thing happens is, yeah, we know a person who can meet the need. God promoted him literally because he was somebody who was needed. He was needed and not needy. He was somebody who was not always requesting things. He just was requested. He was going around helping people, not hurting people. He was an asset and not a liability. This morning, what are you? Now, I'll give some the credit, because the majority of my life, I was raised to be a liability. At some point in my life, though, I had to wake up and say, hold up. I want to help this person, this person, this person, this person, but I can't help them if I'm not even helping myself. So it was a shift in my mind. One day I said, well, I'm not going to be a liability. I'm going to be an asset. And when somebody needs something, the first thought that should come to their mind is, Brother James Anderson can meet that need. Today, if somebody is needing, if we need somebody to play a trumpet, who in the world can we call? We need somebody to hop on the piano, who can, it should be first person in my mind. Boom, this person, it's just automatic. God used him mightily and promoted him to the palace because he had a need that he could address. This need in 1 Samuel 16, verse number 18, we find out that this need was an adequate ability that he had. It says, I've seen the son and he is cunning in playing. My men say he play games. We need somebody to play games, bro. Come on. Come on, play. He was adequate at what he did. He was excellent at what he did. it's not good enough just to do something and just do it mediocre or half-hearted. My brother right here, he owns McDonald's, several McDonald's. Am I correct? How many McDonald's do you have? Four McDonald's. When he walks into the restaurant, he expects his staff to be excellent, not just mediocre or subpar. Listen, I know it, they've been making McDonald's burgers for a century, well, I don't know a century, but 50 plus years, I don't know. Billions of burgers they've made. And just because one McDonald's make them sloppy don't mean his restaurant need to make them sloppy. And he holds his people to a standard. If you're going to be used of God, God got a standard for you. You need to make sure that your abilities are adequate. You need to make sure that you're honing in on your skills. Listen, you probably used to get mad when your mom, dad, auntie, uncle, grandma used to make you play the piano. But you should be at the point now where you say, I don't need anybody to tell me to go practice piano. I'm going to practice it because I want to be great at it. We don't need any more mediocre Christians. We got enough. But you came here because you want to be above par. You want to be excellent at everything that you do so that when a need pops up, your name. This person right here, he's got it handled. Don't even worry about it. I don't even have to look. I don't have to think twice. It's handled. I love it when we get guys in our home. We get a need pop up. Don't worry about it, Brother James, Brother Dave. We got it handled. Don't even worry about it. I don't even have to go back and check it. They handle it. He had an ability that was adequate. Secondly, the Bible says he was a mighty, valiant man and a man of war. He had an audacious attitude. His attitude was unflinching. Y'all know, it's some people when they walk in the room, they just got like this about them, like, bro, what, this dude serious. Like, oh, Lord, like, man, that was David. Whenever a conflict went down, all David had to do was walk in the room. I mean, he just walk up and the whole everything shutting down. Oh, it's conflict? Get David. Get David. Watch what happened when David get here. He just walks in the room. Boom. Everything settles down. Oh, no, that's the King David. We better chill. he might have our heads here. He had an audacious attitude. He knew how to conduct himself with bravery in matters of conflict. Don't run from conflict. It's a part of life. If you don't learn how to handle conflicts now, you won't learn how to handle them later. Look what the Bible says here. Verse 18. So I'm all in the same verse. Verse 18. Not only was a valiant man and a man of war, but the Bible says he was prudent in matters. The word prudent means wise. In matters, it means the way he speaks. So in other words, it literally meant that he was wise in the way that he spoke. He had an astute articulation. You should be able to speak well. Come on. We come to this Bible college literally to study a book. God is the king of language. He gave us all types of art forms here in the Bible, language arts. He gave us a bunch of language arts. If you hate English and you're a preacher, you better learn to start falling in love with your English teacher. How you gonna preach the King James Bible in English and don't know how to articulate in English? He had an astute articulation. He was wise on what he should say and what he shouldn't say. That kind of stings a little bit because most of us, we come from a background where we're like, nah, I do what I want to do, baby. Somebody tell you something, you're ready to snap off. Whatever comes to your mind comes out of your mouth. The Bible teaches us that's foolishness. You need to learn how to control your tongue. James chapter 1 teaches us that. James chapter 3 teaches us that the tongue is an unruly fire. You need to learn how to bridle the tongue. You're not spiritual because you say whatever you want to say. Even if you're saying it from behind a pulpit. I'm a preacher, so I got to preach to myself. I got to be careful with what I say. I need to be prudent in my matters of what I say. Some things I can say, but because I'm in leadership, I can't say. And God is going to use a lot of you in leadership, but if you don't learn how to bridle your tongue, you're going to be in trouble, and you won't be in leadership alone. God didn't give you a tongue to abuse people with, to mistreat people with, to say wrong things to people. God did not give you a tongue for that. The Bible says, don't let cursing and blessing come out of the same mouth. Learn how to control your tongue. The red team, they sang a little song, and in the song they said, the freshmen talk too much. Thought I didn't hear it. Freshmen, prayerfully, by the time you are a senior, you'll learn how to control your tongue. The juniors haven't learned either, so don't feel bad. He had an ability that was adequate. He was special. What do you specialize in? He had an audacious attitude. He was just a firm, straightforward, not mean, but a serious person. His attitude dealing with conflict was always great. He had an astute articulation. He learned to control his mouth. This one you guys probably won't like. It'll be okay though. It's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. The Bible says in verse 18, 1 Samuel 16, not only was he a mighty, valiant man of war, not only was he prudent in matters, the Bible also said that he was a comely person. Listen, David, you cannot wear what you wore on the sheepfold, in the sheepfold, in the pasture. You cannot wear what you wore in the pasture to the palace. Two different places. They demand two different types of respect. His attire was appropriate. God promoted him because he carried himself well. You came to Howells Anderson College and said, I don't really know how to dress. You'll figure it out before you get out of here. Just look around, pay attention, go find the sharpest dressed person you can, and then follow after them. It's really simple. It's not that difficult. Dress appropriately. A lot of people want to be used by God, but they don't even want to submit to the small things. I want to be used greatly by God to do something great for God, but I can't do the smallest thing you're asking me to do. If you're faithful in little, God will make you rule over much. That's secondary. His attire was appropriate. I don't have time to define all of that. You guys figure it out on your own. Ask the Spirit of God. God will guide you in what to wear. Lastly, I'm done. Most important point you can have here. Verse 18, bottom part of the verse. The Bible says, and the Lord was with him. He had an almighty alliance. You know, his older brother Eliab couldn't stop him from becoming king. His dad couldn't stop him from becoming king. Listen, Samuel couldn't stop him from becoming king, and the king that was sitting on the throne at the time, Saul, could not stop him from becoming king. Why? Because the Lord was with him. Many weapons were formed against him, but none of them prospered. He was assaulted many times and attacked on many fronts, but he still made it to the palace. God promoted him because he followed these simple principles. He had an adequate ability. He honed in and made sure that what he did, what he was skillful at, he was the best at it. So that when a need popped up, he was there. He had an audacious attitude. He had an astute articulation. He was able to speak well. He knew what to say, when to say it, when not to say it. He had appropriate attire. And then he had an almighty alliance. Let me give a small admonition to you today. Some of you, as I announce the title, I want to be used of God. You said in your heart, amen. You say, oh yeah, I want to be used of God. Maybe this brother can drop some knowledge on me today and tell me about how I can be used of God. Prayerfully, I helped you with that from the scripture. But you have to make the decision to apply the principles. You have to be the one that says, you know what, I think I'm going to straighten myself up and I'm going to fly right. I'm going to be the best of the best that I could possibly be. And I'll let God guide the rest. Head bowed, eyes closed, I'm done. Probably went over too long, but praise the Lord for the opportunity. Today, my question is, do you want to be used of God? It's a real simple question. It's either yes or no. You want to be used of God? God has given you a simple outline from the scripture. What are you going to do with it? You going to allow God to use you? Or are you going to walk away from what the Lord has given you?